conversation surrounding the subdivision with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, only really, well, there was three teams in the Valley that played last weekend, only one actual Valley matchup. It's been a couple of weeks since you guys have gotten a lot of the Valley squads on the show. Is FCS Nation, are you guys doing all right knowing that the Valley's back in full swing this weekend?
I'm not a hater. I mean, I'm not. Is it getting kind of old? Maybe a little bit, right, to speak for the rest of FCS. But I just, you know, I thought about doing a health and wellness check on Jace Denman. But then I thought if blue lights and sirens rolled up to his house, you know, his neighbors might go, oh, no, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, so I figured that I would stay away from that. But what a performance by NDSU, man. And all those questions that people had about Cole Payton before the start of the year, I think through the first quarter of the season that he's answered quite a few of them, and he's answered them with the affirmative. So that was a hell of a performance. And I tweeted this, that if they play like they did in the first half, minus that missed extra point, that nobody will be able to stay close with them for a long time this season, maybe until the championship game, if that opponent is lucky. That was about the best half of football I've seen NDSU play in a long time.
Well, Kevin, not so much the question, but the thought that I had about NDSU heading into the season is that their strength was going to be this defense, because while we did have questions about their offense, about Cole Payton, about the running backs room after losing Marty Brown to University of Miami of Florida, how was that passing game going to work, et cetera, the heart and soul of this defense, heart and soul of this team this year is the defense, and they have been performing outstanding. I think that maybe they've given up about 13, 14 points at most. Otherwise, they have just been on lockdown. And Logan Kopp and the rest of that defense have really gelled well early. And they brought talent back at the right positions. And I dare say, I don't think there's a better defense in the FCS subdivision right now.
I mean, you know, they shut out the big blue machine, guys. That's not easy, you know. So that's something that, you know, you got to frame that and put it in the locker room, right? So, but yes, that defense has been very, very impressive. And it's led by a bunch of guys who are these typical NDSU players, right? And sideline to sideline, high motor, every one of them. They don't hurt themselves with stupid penalties. And this is just your typical NDSU team. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to say that with a quarter of the season gone. And that program is just doing what they always do. They're bludgeoning people. They're limiting people on the defensive side of the ball. And I just don't know how to describe it other than that. This is a typical NDSU football team. And it's a testament to that program that with all the guys that they lost, that we can say that through one quarter of the year.
For the first time in more than a decade, believe it or not, the Bison have two new starting tackles to start the season. They got Bo Johnson at the left side, Josh Megan on the right side, a couple of guys, one a sophomore, one a junior. But they're, I mean, the offensive line is still firing at all cylinders, and it's almost kind of mesmerizing as to how well they're playing, still averaging 5.5, almost 6 yards a clip. I mean, when you go and play up against a team like NDSU, man, how do you try – if you were a coach, Kevin, how would you try to approach them knowing that even the guys that are new starters, they somehow seem to manhandle you?
Prayer. I think that would help a lot, you know, being – in tune with the higher power of the universe, whatever choice that is, whichever one you follow, making sure that you're right with that. And you've just got to try to do things that they haven't seen. And but nobody can do that anymore. And y'all know where I'm going to go with this. I would be very interested to see with a week to prepare how the NDSU defense would fare against an under-center triple option team. And I think the answer to that would be pretty well. You know why? Because they're gap sound. There's no hero ball on that NDSU defense. Guys do their job, and they have confidence in the guy next to them that he's going to do his job. And there's very little of the look-at-me stuff you see with other teams. It's all about that group and the green and the gold on the defensive side of the ball. It's an impressive thing.
Trying to piggyback off that question just a bit. I know you had alluded to it right as we started the conversation, and it's a question that many people had at the beginning of the season, but starting quarterback Cole Payton, starting running back Barik Apenu for the Bison, both fifth-year seniors, guys that have been basically understudies for a half a decade with NDSU, they both get their opportunities, and they're both thriving at this point. At the beginning of the season, Jace asked Barik what his goal is for 2025, and he said that he wants to prove he can be a lead back at the Division I level. And then I asked Cole, hey, where are you at passing the football? Because most people know you can run the ball, but the question mark is throwing it. And those two guys, running the ball, throwing the ball, catching the ball, blocking anything, have been spectacular from our eyes. You guys, as national FCS Nation, watching games each and every weekend, I mean, you guys watch 50 games a week, basically. Where are those two guys in comparison to anybody else that you've seen nationally?
They're right at the top of the list. And I said this about the quarterback, Derek Robertson, at Monmouth. I replied to my friend Sam Herder, who was singing his praises and saying, you need to look at this guy. He's very, very good, and he is. And the question and the point that I made was, Derek Robertson can run your team system. Could your quarterback go to Monmouth and do what he's doing at Monmouth? And the answer to that's probably no, right? And I think Cole Payton, as big as he is, and it's not aesthetically pleasing at times, right? But the ball is where it needs to be, and that's all that really matters. I think you could take him and put him in any system anybody runs in Division I football, and he would excel at it. And I wasn't sure that was the case 5-6 weeks ago. And it's an impressive thing he's done so far, and I expect him to keep it up. I don't think there'll be any let down or fall back or anything from him. And he's just an impressive guy. And look, people thought that we disliked Cam Miller, and that wasn't true. We love the fact that he stayed there, and everybody that they brought in to take his job, he beat them out, showed loyalty to the program, showed loyalty to his teammates, and made himself, through the coaching and the development that you're going to get at North Dakota State, made himself into the best quarterback in the country. I think the same thing has happened with Cole Payton. And one of these years, people aren't going to be shocked that that happens in that program.
When we look towards this weekend for Valley play, regardless of what ranking has what? I know that Illinois State, in some rankings, they're number 6 in the country. You guys have them at number 8. It's basically, for the time being, a consensus that the number 1 team in the country is the Bison. What do you expect in that Valley matchup with NDSU hitting the road for the Valley game of the week with a 6 p.m. kickoff? Everybody I talk to at NDSU, I say, hey, it's a little bit different. And they go, basically all it is, it's an extra film session, it's an extra meal, and we'll just kick off at 6 instead of 2:30. They couldn't care less.
Well, people have said, including me, that your best chance against the Bison is to get them out of that dome at your place outdoors. So if you're Illinois State, you've got that going for you. But they need to be able to run the football. And guess what is a very difficult thing to do against NDSU? Run the football. So I don't like this matchup for the Redbirds. And I know that's easy to say when it's NDSU, but where they're good and they have great players are the same places where the NDSU defense has great players and they're good at stopping. Illinois State is a very good football team. We just might not see much of that against NDSU because the matchup isn't favorable for them. And they say styles make fights, right? Well, the style of ball that Illinois State's going to want to play is very similar to what the Bison like to do. And you're not going to be able to out NDSU. I think we've said that over and over and over again over the years. This is not a good matchup for Brock Spak's bunch, but Jace, you've heard me say this a million times. nobody circles the wagons like that fellow with the cowboy mustache. So you got to figure Brock's back will have a few things up his sleeve. He's going to need them.
When we look at another Valley matchup here this weekend, with everybody back playing, South Dakota State heads to Youngstown State. Depending on what you look at, the media poll, the coaches poll got them in the top 25 at 24 and 18 respectively, and the Penguins. You guys, if I'm looking at this properly, don't have Youngstown in the top 25. I'm curious as to where you think that Youngstown is at and what issues, if anything, this matchup could present in Youngstown for the Jacks.
It's going to be a tough ball game. That's a really tough place to play. And you would like to think with a matchup like that, that the Penguins could fill that stadium. Because if they could, that is a very – it's as difficult of a place to win when it's full and it's sold out and those fans are into it as any place in the country, including that place that gets all the credit for being a difficult place to play over there in Missoula. Youngstown State used to get that kind of crowd, used to be that kind of a hostile environment. It's been a long time since that has been the case. But hope springs eternal for the Penguins. And look, we don't have them ranked mostly because of what they've done. And our poll is different. We have said this before. It's a snapshot of right now. It's not a next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks down the road. It's right now. And Youngstown just hasn't beaten the type of opponents. And the opponents that they've defeated, they haven't done it in a manner that we feel like is warranted to be one of the top 25 teams in the country right now. Next week, the week after that, if they play good football, they'll find themselves there. But South Dakota State, Chase Mason show. The guy throws like a shortstop. There isn't an angle of a throw he can't make. There isn't a throw he can't make. And the Jacks defense has proven to be pretty hellacious. We've seen Mercyhurst, that team that they just bludgeoned to death last week, give people some problems for a lot longer than they were expected to this season. And the Jacks just jumped on them, and you know they scored as many points last week as North Dakota State did. Mm-hmm. And it probably should have been more than that. They had some things in the red zone, penalty-wise, that were not indicative of how the Jackrabbits play football. They got to clean that up, clean some penalties up, and they should handle Youngstown on the road, I think.
Last matchup that is here relevant locally, Kevin, North Dakota travels down to Cedar Rapids to take on Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa, in my opinion, is a traditional. They get better as the season goes along. They're sitting at 2-2 on the season. North Dakota, I believe you've got them ranked like in the top 10 on the FCS Nations poll. North Dakota has been impressive at times. They almost had an FBS win. They almost won out in Missoula. So what do you expect in that North Dakota-Northern Iowa matchup?
We don't really know a whole lot about Northern Iowa. We think it's a rebuilding year with brand-new head coach Todd Stepsis, right? But we also know that North Dakota has not been a very good team over the years outside of the Alaris Center. And maybe people look at what they did in Missoula and go, well, they exercised those demons. Maybe, but they didn't win, did they?
Mm-hmm.
And so for North Dakota to, I think in their own mind, and their fans' mind and their supporters' mind, need to go to a place that nobody really traditionally performs well at, and that is at Northern Iowa in their dome, and put it on them. If they can do that, they'll show a lot of people that they're for real. Like the quarterback, the receivers are good, and the defense held up against Montana when other people have not been able to do that. So, you know, Montana's scoring regularly in the 40s, and they didn't do that against the Fighting Hawks in their place. So I am really interested in this ball game. I think it has a chance to be a signal victory for North Dakota to prove that they can go on the road. This is not the same North Dakota team that's going to struggle to win away from home. I like them in this ball game, and I think that they are really going to show everybody that this is a different team, that they've turned the page, and this is a squad nobody's going to want to see going forward.
I think we've probably Missouri Valley'd you out here for the day, Kevin. What is there another matchup or two that you guys have your eyes on here this week?
Yes, we have Yale ranked number 24, and they're at number 12, Lehigh. So I hear Jace chuckling, right?
Yeah.
But
the confidence, you know, that's what it was.
We have to pay attention to the Ivies now, yeah, because, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Lehigh has been impressive. They look more like a CAA team from 7 or 8 years ago than a Patriot League team should look. And Lehigh has a good offense. The defense flies around. And Yale has a quarterback, Brown, a running back, Pitzenberger, and a very talented group of receivers. This will be a good football game at Lehigh. And a couple of more, you know, you got to keep your eye on Stephen F. Austin at Incarnate Word. Incarnate Word put it on Abilene Christian last Saturday. I mean, put it on them. It was like 38-7.
Mm.
And nobody expected that, you know, except for a certain someone on FCS Nation who gave you that upset special of the week. And I think Incarnate Word was plus 300 on the money line at least. So, you know, you're welcome if you listen. And in my neck of the woods, East Tennessee State is at Furman. Furman is recovering from that loss to Presbyterian. And to be quite honest with you, that doesn't look nearly as bad now as it did when it happened. And East Tennessee State, well, they lost to Mercer at home last week, and we gave you that one too, so you're welcome for that. You know, Mercer was underdog in that game, and, you know, they went to Johnson City and won. And this is a point in the season for the Buccaneers where it could all turn bad, very bad, with a quickness. And Furman is not a easy place to play a football game. If the Paladins can handle ETSU, we'll start to see some levels in the SoCon. And the people out there who've said that that league is, you know, no better than the NEC this year or the Pioneer this year, you know, it started out slow for the SoCon out of conference, but now that these teams are playing one another, we'll see what they really have. And I expect it to be like it's always been. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be down-to-the-wire football games. And whoever gets into the playoffs from the SoCon won't embarrass the league or themselves, that's for sure.
Last thing we have for you here this week, Kevin, what do you guys got in the docket for FCS Nation?
Well, we're going to give you the National Players of the Week. We'll go over last week's action in not a whole lot of detail since it happened last week. We'll preview the biggest games taking place in the country, update you on Alex's Lemonade Stand, which is off to a running start, and then we'll give you the pick segment where, if you're so inclined, perhaps you can make your truck payment if you play your best right. So that's what we got this week, and it's always a pleasure to be on there in Fargo on WDAY Radio. We're very pleased with that, and I'm always very happy to come on with you too.